was the early evening, and I remember that the GMR team acting for you. I'm not going to be able to do it. You are active. Thank you. Can you consulting services, you can charge as much as you like, depending on the pages also. Okay. Mine Health and Safety Council, the floor is yours.
Thank you.
It's up to you to take my advice. But it's up to you to follow your approach at the same time. We are left with you for today, and you will be patient. Depending on whether it's part of self-punishment, we are ready. You can continue. Pamela.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. With your permission, I would like to start with a round of introduction, because we've also invited the board members, as well as the executive from MHSC. I'll start on my far right, Mr. Ndlovu. If you can please introduce yourself.
Good afternoon, everyone. Honorable members, Mr. Ndlovu, organized labor convener and the board member.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mr. Salim Wendel, convener for the state and board member.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Stuart DePetra, convener for the Chamber of Mines and the board member.
Good afternoon, everyone. Keith Melengrafa from LHSC, Cooperative.
Good afternoon, members. Karam Kwanan, CFO.
Good afternoon, Thabo Dube, CEO.
Chairperson, the matter is being attended to.
We'll start with the program.
I
didn't agree, I told you before, but unfortunately, I'll delay the other lady. I'm not fighting with you, CFO, and others. The fact of the matter, the mere fact that if one lady is sick, there will only be one lady in your delegation. The heart of it all is a problem. Okay, continue. It's minus 1 point already.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you can see, that the MHSC board is a tripartite board, which means that it consists of labor, employers, and ourselves from the department. As part of our process in reviewing our strategic plan, we held a meeting last year where we went through a rigorous process of reviewing our threat plan. And one of our key focus areas during our threat plan was the implementation of the Center of Excellence, which we strongly believe that we see it as very key for a game changer in the mining sector in the way that we're conducting research. Because previously we have not really been making sure that we end up with products and services or services that we have conducted. And secondly, Mr. Dube, as part of the presentation, also be highlighting the planned research projects for the financial year 2018-19. And as part of that, I know that it's been a concern for the PPC is our seismic-related fatalities, and we have raised a concern that there seems to be an increase to seismic-related fatalities, and going forward, we'll also be working closely with the Council for Geoscience, making sure that we improve our capacity in monitoring and seismicity, as well as seeing what other innovative means and mechanisms we can come up with to address this particular problem. And in closing, this was also highlighted by the DG during our presentation, that also later on this year, the MHSC will be hosting our Management Safety Summit in November, where the different stakeholders will be reviewing the safety performance of the sector, and then they also have to agree on what we need to do or what strategies we need to develop and implement going forward in making sure that we realize the goal of zero harm come 2020 in the mining sector, which means that we want to make sure that we eliminate fatalities and injuries in the mining industry. And again, we are very conscious that 2020 is not very far, and where we are now and what we need to achieve by 2021 is a tall order. But I'm sure as this collective will be able to achieve that goal. I thank you, and I'll hand over to Mr. Dube and Mr. Mpana to take us through the rest of the presentation.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members, DG and colleagues. On slide number 2, Mr. Zondi has actually touched on in terms of the layout of our presentation. And slide number 3 is talking about the journey to zero harm, which is the journey that we are still in, of zero harm by 2020. We might have been experiencing problems, especially in 2017, which was the last year for the industry, where it's the first time that we had an increase in the number of accidents. So we still strongly believe, Chair and all other members, that we will be able to achieve that. In putting together our strategic plan, on slide 4, we looked into other national initiatives, including the National Development Plan, SONA, and SONA as well. In terms of our mandate, it's highlighted on slide number 5, which deals with the issues of advising the Minister of Mineral Resources on various matters, including regulation, research, and promotion work. In terms of our vision is mainly to be a first port of call on occupational health and safety issues. Our mission statement is to actually continuously promote the culture of occupational health and safety in the mining industry. And also we'll be mainly focusing on creating and disseminating information on leading practices in the mining industry. Goal being that of knowledge leadership in occupational health and safety, and ensuring that we achieve zero harm to employees and communities affected by mining activities. The next slide describes the structure of the MHSC. I'm not going to be spending time on it. The following slide is slide number 8, talks about the strategy map of the MHSC, detailing the strategic objective to achieve the vision and the mission that we have, and also to deliver on our legislative mandate in terms of the Mine Health and Safety Act. Out of the 6 strategic objectives, we've got 3 strategic objectives that are mainly focusing on the Center of Excellence, which mainly deals with how we want to improve the manner that we are actually conducting business of advising the Minister of Mineral Resources by conducting research and making sure that the manner that we are doing it is effective and efficient. Starting with the first strategic objective, I'm not going to be going through all the strategic objectives. I will be just highlighting the key ones, which relates to the regulation of the industry. We are expected to deliver at least four advisory notes relating to regulation of the industry to the minister, four relating to research and the studies that we have conducted in the form of an advice to the minister on the pressing issues in the mining industry. And also in terms of the implementation of Summit Action Plan, which is the summit that we held initially in 2014, we had a number of action plans and milestones that we wanted to achieve. Now, on a regular basis, we need to be providing advisory notes in terms of how we advise the minister and the industry how to achieve those milestones. In responding to the challenges that we have in the industry, for 2018-2019, we came up with a number of projects that are going to be assisting the industry in terms of addressing the health and safety challenges that we are currently experiencing. I'm not going to be presenting on all the project topics. I'm just going to be highlighting the key ones. The first one is the one relating to seismic managing seismic events, which deals with the expansion of the current seismograph network that we have into the Bushveld complex, which is an area where most of the platinum is coming from. There is an indication that in terms of the depth of mining, there's an increase of depth of mining. There's a likelihood that we're going to be also experiencing the issues of seismic events in that area. The first project, this project that I'm highlighting, is going to be focusing on improving the accuracy of the location of seismic events. And thereafter, we're going to be going into the second phase, still working with the Council for Geoscience, where we are going to be expanding the seismic networks. The CEO of CGS tomorrow will be talking about the artificial intelligence that they are actually looking at. We will be working together as a team in terms of predicting the seismic events. Currently, there is a challenge in terms of prediction. So we will be working with the CSIR as well. There will be experts who are dealing with the issue of we'll be dealing with the issue of prediction. We'll be working closely with them. And what is also going to be affected by expansion is that we'll be getting much more data for us to be able to deal with the issues of prediction. We're also going to be developing guidelines for training of occupational health and safety representatives, union shop stewards and safety officers as part of the health and safety structures within the mining industry to make sure that we empower them to be effective, to ensure that those structures become effective. We're also going to be looking at the issue under silicosis and lung diseases. One of the key projects that we'll be working on is the one of real-time monitoring and dust suppression system, where we don't have to wait for the collection and analysis of samples in terms of dust, where we'll be actually be getting the real-time indication in terms of the levels of exposure, and then we can immediately implement the control measures. So we are looking at that project as well. Under occupational health, one of the key projects that we'll be working on is that one on the occupational health information management system. It's slide number 11. It's project number 4. Currently, we don't have a system like we have with occupational health, occupational safety. We've been working with the National Institute of Occupational Health. They already have a system that is working. We'll be looking at making some improvement or adding some functionalities on the system. We are currently engaging with them. That's basically that on the project that we planned, the ones that I wanted to highlight. And on slide number 12, it deals with the issues of implementation of 2014 occupational health and safety milestones. I strongly believe that the stakeholders are still committed to that. It's just that we had a challenge in 2017 in terms of not really achieving the set milestones of a 20% reduction year on year. We are planning to have a summit with all the leaders in the industry to deal with what needs to be done for us to get back on track in terms of making sure that the milestones that we've set ourselves we are able to achieve. That safety, health and safety symposium is scheduled for June. On slide number 13, it touches on the projects that we are currently working on and what we'll be implementing in this current financial year, which is 18-19, in actually dealing with the issues of elimination of noise-induced hearing loss and elimination of lung diseases. And one of the projects which was key in terms of compensation, we completed a project that is looking into various inputs to the changes in legislation that is handled by the Department of Health and Department of Labor. We've completed that, and the report has been sent to GMR, of which the minister will be sending the inputs to both ministers, the Minister of Health and the Minister of Labor. On the implementation of milestones on prevention of TB, HIV and AIDS, we've developed a number of guidance notes and we've come up with a number of initiatives in terms of addressing that. And what is actually key here is that in terms of making sure that our initiatives become sustainable, we have started working with the local community organization and local government to make sure that the initiatives that we start in various areas become sustainable. And there's a continuous communication in terms of the progress and the improvement that we are actually making in this area. On slide 14, it indicates that we had an event last month in Belcom during the World TB Day. That's where we actually started engaging with communities and community organizations. That's the first project that we started with, and we had a lot of support from the local municipality, which is the Belcom one. One of the issues that we've identified as impediment in us as an industry, members of the industry in achieving the milestone, were the issues that I listed in slide number 15. The engagement of the industry leaders, improvement of communication, there was also identification of the trust deficit between the stakeholders. We committed ourselves that at least twice in a year, the industry principals will be meeting to actually addressing these issues. As I've indicated earlier, the first meeting is scheduled to be held in June. In terms of the culture transformation, milestones implementation is slide number 17. We've made a good progress. The pillars of the culture transformation framework that we are still working on, which deals with risk management and data management, as I indicated earlier, that there is a project that we are actually working on. On the special project, we've got this project on the commemoration of the mine disasters. We've identified two areas, which is Cold Brook and also in child cultural precinct, where we are going to be building a national monument for commemoration of mining disasters. But the project has hit a snag but we are engaging the city of Jobe. There are some challenges that we are actually dealing with. I've already touched on the development of integrated comprehensive compensation system, and what also we are actually working on, one of the key projects is the project that is also going to assist in dealing with the issue of illegal mining. We're going to be coming with a design of sharp plugs to ensure that the illegal miners, they don't get, it's going to be difficult for them to actually blast it. So it's one of the projects that we're going to be working on. It's scheduled to be completed by the mid of this financial year. Other projects that we are continuously working on is relating to slide 19 in terms of issues that are relating to women in mining. At this point in time, we are at a point where we are finalizing a booklet that deals with the safety and security challenges impacting on women in mining in terms of how mines need to address those issues. And we are planning to have a workshop to be held in the second quarter in the Women's Month in Accra to actually reflect on the initial conference that we had relating to issues relating to women in mining. Just to take stock in terms of how far we have improved in terms of the implementations of the resolutions that were coming out of that conference. On slide number 20, Chair, I think there was a typo there in terms of the name of the strategic objective. The correct strategic objective is actually to promote the culture of occupational health and safety in the South African mining industry. And in terms of the initiatives, there are a number of initiatives that we will be embarking on as Mine Health and Safety Council, which is going to be basically focusing on dissemination of information and making sure that information is available for the stakeholders in the industry for them to be able to use. We also have an MOU or an arrangement with the MOSH Learning Hub, which is the learning hub from the Chamber of Mines, and we've identified areas that we need to do a lot of promotion work in terms of adoption and promotion of leading practice. It touches on the issues of falls of ground, elimination of transport and machinery, lung diseases, noise-induced hearing loss, and also risk management. So we have been working together with the MOSH Learning Hub, I think for more than a year now, in terms of promoting the best practice that is available out there. We actually have created at Mine Health and Safety Council a physical library and also created the e-library. We're just making sure now, the current project is to make sure that information is available both in the physical library and in the e-library so that when people want to get access to the information, they can easily get access to it. Previously, Chairperson on slide 23, we've reported on the Center of Excellence Quick Win project. Out of the 9 projects, we've actually managed to complete 6 of the projects. There are only 3 projects that are still outstanding that are in the various stages of implementation. In terms of creating the Occupational Health and Safety Knowledge Hub for South African mining industry, I've already touched on the issues of the library and some of the initiatives that we're going to be looking at is also the commercialization of the research work that we are doing in terms of developing gadgets that can be easily utilized by the industry. And we also funding a number of research facilities and health facilities. Got facilities that we are finding at the National Institute of Occupational Health. If you see the pictures there, the instruments, the facilities, they look a bit old. So what we are actually finding is purchasing new equipment that is going to be very quick in terms of the turnaround times, in terms of the test results. And what we've agreed with all these institutions is that we have negotiated discounts for the stakeholders if they want to use this facility. But we will be encouraging, we will also be measuring ourselves in terms of the usage of this facility, in terms of making sure that we get the return of investment that we are going to be making into this facility. University of Pretoria, we are actually looking at a gadget called the acoustic camera, which has got the potential of being commercialized. So it's one of the projects that we believe that there's a huge potential that we'll be able to develop gadgets and be able to distribute them in the industry to actually be used. And as part of commercialization, we're actually going to be looking at the black industrialists to actually participate and also ensure that these gadgets, when they get manufactured, they get manufactured locally. At Curtis Law, which is one of the facilities at CSIR, we're also going to be funding a number of testing facilities. One of the facilities is the support, underground support unit testing facilities. As a country, in terms of capacity to do the testing, we have a serious reduced capacity in terms of that. To the extent that some of the mining companies are taking the testing of their support units overseas to countries like Canada and Australia. So we want to redevelop that capacity. We're also going to be providing funding assistance in terms of the rate testing facilities, the CSIR, which is a regulatory requirement for the mines, that on a regular basis they must cut a certain specimen of their rope and subject those ropes for testing. CSIR's local source explosion facility and the facility that is doing testing in terms of fire, we are having finalized our agreements. We are currently engaging with them, but the engagements that approaching their final stages, so we will be also assisting them in terms of making sure that, especially from the explosion testing facility, we bring it back to the glory days 20 years ago, where most of the mining companies used to take the samples either of their coal dust and their conveyor belts for actually taking. At West University, which is slide number 29, we're working with West University in terms of developing an underground dome, which is going to be the first of its kind in the world. Instead of sending people in hazardous environments, we'll be able to send the drones, which is going to be equipped with various measuring instruments to give intelligence in terms of the conditions in various areas underground, especially in situations when there's been fire. The Center of Excellence, Chairperson, I must report that in the last quarter of the last financial year, which ended last month, we were able to capacitate the Center of Excellence in terms of all the posts. We are in the process of onboarding the new recruits in terms of making sure that they are effective and they fit well within the sector of excellence. I'm just going to leave it there for now, Chairperson. The CFO is going to take over.
Thank you, Theo. Thank you, Chair. In terms of our goal, financial perspective, our goal is to ensure that MHAC is financially sustainable and viable. If you can recall, Chair, we have mentioned in the past that most of our budget is based on levies from the mine, and we are currently busy with the process of ensuring that we are changing our levy model. So we've given ourselves a target of collecting 90% of the invoices that we levy to mines for us to be able to effectively implement our strategic objectives.
The other goal we have is to optimize effective and efficient management of financial resources. In this one, Chairperson, we are aligning our goals to the regulation in ensuring that our spending on budget is according to our budget. If not, we are within the 5% range as regulated by Treasury, and also to ensure that in future we do not have excessive surplus funds. In terms of the budget that has been approved, Chair, you remember that one of the things that we had in the past was surplus funds. So we have planned and factored it in to ensure that we are able to utilize it in the coming financial years. In terms of the issue that was raised in our last presentation here, Chairperson, where it was highlighted about how we will be utilizing surplus funds, we went and engaged National Treasury and we received approval for them to utilize our surplus funds on mainly four activities. The one being the acquiring of MHSC building and research laboratories, also the Center of Excellence, our research in the Center of Excellence, and also as the CEO has touched, upgrading our occupational health and research facilities, which included the Dr. Bot CSIR, VET, as well as University of Pretoria indicated. Also, as part of our expansion, Chairperson, and the utilization of surplus funds, we will continue with our expansion of our South African National Smuggler's Network, as the CEO has touched on it, in conjunction with the Council of Geoscience. So that is how we are planning to utilize our funds going forward. In terms of our budget currently, we expect that our surplus fund will be fully utilized during the medium term, meaning in 2021 it will be the final financial year where we will have any surplus fund. Thank you.
Chairperson and honorable members, in concluding, we strongly believe, Chair, that the current state that we are in terms of health and safety is something that we can actually change, but it will also actually need all of us as separate stakeholders to actually work together in doing that. We've done it before. We strongly believe we can still do it again, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. That brings us to the end of the presentation.
Okay. Honourable members, there is the report. Consensus by fatigue. You want to raise your hand, but you can't go out. For the first time, he's had the same course as Penala. He's raising his hand, but he's raising his hand. Last time, I always say, see? Ngibona mina ukuyashisela shayile le nto yakho dudu shayi kodwa ubethela la bawumathi.
Thank you, Chair. Can first start from slide number 33, Chair. That speaks of legal fees there, 1.2 million that is spent on legal fees. Yet I haven't come across any legal issues that have been put against Mine Health and Safety Council. So I'd like to understand what legal fees are they alluding to, and what kind of cases are brought against the Mine Health and Safety Council. But also, Chair, we're speaking about fatalities and ending fatalities by 2020. and that I don't see clear systems and technologies that are being employed to ensure that we are actually able to make that a reality. As you can look at the trend now, we've moved from 77 fatalities to 73, and now we are on the rise to 88 fatalities. How do we ensure that we continue to keep these fatalities at a zero level? As we often say, Honorable Chair, one fatality is one too many. Safety of women on mines, Honorable Chair, continues to be a concern, where women are harassed, particularly on blind spots in mines, where they are found with their male counterparts. Yet we don't see any harsh decisions undertaken by the Mine Health and Safety Council on these issues. For example, if a mine worker is caught of harassment and even rape to the extreme, we have not heard of dismissal cases that come out of that. It seems to be a norm that women are fall victim and prey to their male counterparts at work. But also in terms of working hours, Honorable Chair, women have to get to the mine 80 hours in order to meet a certain shift, and the traveling to the mine area also becomes a challenge for women in the industry. So I'd like to understand what is Mine Health and Safety doing and ensure that women are protected and are secured. Thank you, Chair.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll start with the question that deals with the safety and the security of women in the mining industry. The department issued a directive advising the mining companies on what they need to do to make sure that they improve the safety and security of women. And one of them was to make sure that women don't work firstly alone and in a secluded area, to make sure that they will always be working in pairs, to make sure that their safety and security is secured. And sadly, we have had the latest incident was of a man that have got access into the mine property, and sadly the particular individual committed a sexual offense against that woman. Again, the main concern there was that the mine did not make sure that they control their access to their mine premises. Obviously, mines, they need to make sure that they are vigilant, making sure that only authorized employees gain access to the mine property. And I'll give my other colleagues a chance to respond to that question.
Chair and honorable members, just to add on the initiatives in terms of dealing with the safety and security of women in the mining industry. We are at a point where we are going to have an exciting book as a sort of guideline in terms of guiding the mines on the policies and the measures that they actually need to be putting in place in addressing that issue. Unfortunately, the guideline has not been completed. It's expected to be completed during the first quarter of this financial year.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of the legal fees, Chair, I think it's worth noting that
we utilize an external legal entity. This year we are planning to have four legislative advisory notes to the minister, as well as four advisory notes on occupational health and safety. So our main focus will be making sure that we get legal opinion to ensure that our advice to the minister is within the applicable legislative. Therefore, it's not so much of the issues that we have, but of consultation with getting legal opinion on those issues. In addition, we are busy with the new levy model. We also need to ensure that we are also consulted to ensure that whatever we implement to the industry is within the legal framework. Thank you, Chair.
Let me start again from this particular aspect. I'm just thinking aloud. Please, Zodi, don't say why I'm saying this, because you are the one who is the acting chief inspector of mine. It's just a, maybe even for the board and your advice. I was just thinking this way here, two things that I forgot even in the department to ask. You've got a chief, well, it seems an automatic appointment. You've got a chief inspector of mine. The chief inspector of mine, I will assume, and I believe amongst the other is about ensuring that there is an enforceability of occupational health and safety objectives. Now, this chief inspector of mine becomes the chairperson of the board. As a mining company that either falls under the chamber and so forth and so forth, I'm sitting with someone who's chairing the meeting, whom tomorrow might be knocking in my when I mind, or will have to make a determination on my mind whether the application of the law was done correctly or not. I'm just thinking aloud. Shouldn't we find a different model? Different model that will make the chief inspector of mines to play that objective role of not being, I'm not saying change the system, I'm just saying sitting here, I'm a chief inspector of mines. Let us be ridiculous, I said. Chief inspector of mines. We fight, you go for inquiry, you bring lawyers, and then the next thing I'm in the meeting, I'm chairing. We're all human beings. Wouldn't at some point say, now, there is no lawyer in the house. I'm here, I'm in charge. I know the decision won't be taken by an individual who is a chairperson. But if there were to be a complaint, how would the chief inspector of mine, even against the chief inspector of mine, how would the chief inspector of mine deal with that issue? But secondly, at an operational level, wouldn't you be cutting off the powers of the chief inspector of mines, or making the chief inspector of mines impose? You see, I've got a legislative responsibility. Now you want me to come and negotiate with you. I've got the authority. Two, obviously when I want to abdicate my responsibility, I can also go there and say, no, we will discuss and then this is subject to what in the board meeting or whatever it is, what decision that was taken. So I'm just saying, with the authority that is supposed to be sitting to that person, and isn't this thing of making him a chairperson or whatever, because I assume, that's why I said, Babuzon, it's not about you. I assume, and I think it seems to be the norm or practice or a regulation, whatever you call it. Because when I came in, the chairperson was Babu Msiz, because he was the chief inspector of mine. So Babu Msiz, Babu Zondia acts as the chief inspector of mine. then Mbabumsiza must vacate so that the act, so it's automatic that when you act as a chief inspector of mines, you are the chairperson of the board. I'm just trying to say this. On the other side, I would assume again, let us again be ridiculous. I assume again, being the chief inspector of mines, Dube would still be accountable directly in the department to the mine health and safety division. So two people will always be seeing each other's face. They like it or not, you are accounting to me first by operation, but at the same time now I'm the chairperson. So if there's stubbornness, there were some crossings between us, the moment we go to the meeting, now I must sort you out. Let's talk about it because it has not happened. But let's envisage if it were to happen. That is the first part I wanted. The thing I said, say, oh, I forgot to say that. At least I think with the minister, he understands. I was born in the Eastern Cape. No. You must move the office from P. Just come back. He agreed that he's going to change the office from PE. The only thing, when I said East London or Bishop or King Leinster, I said, yeah, or Queenstown, they said, now this office is still going to be closer to Bath. I don't know. But all of them say, let's just agree. That thing is impossible. At least when we talk to someone who knows. No person will come from, I always say this thing, from Pisana, take a taxi to Umtata, which will be almost 4 to 5 hours, then take another taxi, which will be 6 or 7 hours. You see? So all that I need is that now, if you buy, you've got a title deed, or if you rent, at least we've confirmed our office is going to be number so and so in this area. I think let's just agree. The next thing that was on the team, I just thought I must deal with this. I'll be happy to do it. I don't want to say whether acting or let's just say you are the CEO for now. You see, my concern is again reaffirmed here. And I'm not saying it's wrong. Your agreement, if you look in your, whether it's your memorandum, only your last pages, the one in the feeling, the Panyapan. I never knew that in Prophet's course you were present. Now, let's just take a retreat. Because I'm looking at how you're going to spend the surplus. Whether we have to debate whether the surplus you are spending on something that was not there or something. But my bigger question is that, are you running the risk that you are stretching too much your resources? You enter, there is something that you are doing, what is the NEO, the analytical services. Then you've got other one with the University of Pretoria, the CSIR, there's the Club of Corporate Board with the CSIR, there's Wealthy University. That's what I say. I'm not saying you are wrong. I'm just saying, don't you think it justifies what we have been saying to say? Shouldn't we look on how, in fact, that's the work we are supposed to be doing with Mabuza. Find a way to consolidate research as another form of cost saving. Well, one made an example today. In other countries, for example, the Australian model. Because the risk is that you will discover almost the same thing, all of you spending the same money. Instead of focusing your resources to say, if there is this type of an equipment, I'm making an example that we can get and it's going to cost us 100 million rand. Can we put our resources together to get this thing? If we have to place it at UP in Tegis, we put it in Tegis, and all of us would have made a contribution to keep it alive. Rather than to find that you will have an equipment that Vince will have, yourself in your center of excellence you have, and everyone has it. I don't know, but I hope in the process of what we give you as a task, you will take that thing into consideration. The last thing on now, mine health and safety. Dr. Nicole said, you've got mine. I don't think so. Did you say 6? I thought you said 8%. 6. Yes. Yeah, 8. Increase of mining. But there's a decline on the other side. If for me I were to talk about, for instance, the surplus, I would have thought the surplus will be in between that gap, trying to close that gap. For now, it seems more on infrastructure than on the actual problem. I'm just saying, by focus, seems to be more on infrastructure. What could be the meaning? Because I would think that in order to deal with the increase in fatality, there are supposed to be certain things, even if scientific, that becomes your bare minimum. Do we have something? I know, that's why I was asking again that question. What if Mamusingo doesn't give you money? Can you stand up and say, as the Money, Health and Safety Council, now our problem is that the one who's supposed to be beefing up the work that we do doesn't give us money? Have you looked at what could be the bare minimum of skills and strategic area? Let's assume, for a Department of Mineral Resources, how many inspectors do they need? And which fields are critical, will require not to be compromised? But lastly, what particular skills that will be required? I'm just saying, because if that is not the case, it will be them who will determine. Or you will find your skills being put differently. Where you need them in the Free State, you find that they're in Mpumalanga. Or where you need them in Gauteng, you find them there in the Northwest. I'm just making that example to say, are there some baseline that you can put so that in what you do, you can then measure whether the increases on fatalities or whatever is on the basis that we are not meeting the minimum requirement. Or everything depends on what the department is doing. Now, for me, I would say then you are literally playing an advisory role, which is not objective. Department. I would think that part of that element is not just it's not an antagonistic advisor, but it's something that must be able to send warning signals that you would say this is the matter. So even in the industry, I'm just trying to get, are there any minimum requirements? If the Department of Mineral Resources were to wake up and then Mr. Luzipo is one of the inspectors of the mine, can you object and say it doesn't meet the particular skill or requirements to be a inspector of mine? So I thought I must flag those things, because to me, those are the things that we must begin to think deeper, go to the uncharted waters. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson, for those questions. I'll start with the first one, where you were alluding to the possible conflict between the Chairperson and the Chief Inspector, as well as the CEO of the MHSC. From my perspective, Chairperson, I see this as more of synergy as opposed to possible conflict. Because the Chief Inspector has got a very good understanding of what are the challenges that are facing the mining industry. And the Management Safety Council was established in assisting the department in making sure that we are able to address those challenges. And earlier on, Mr. Dube highlighted a number of projects that we will be doing through MHSC to be able to assist us in addressing the challenges we are facing in this sector. So I see that relationship more of being synergy as opposed to possible conflict. And with regard to the skills requirement in the department, again, Honorable Chairperson, acknowledge that our current skills base, right, is not adequate for us to be able to address some of the challenges we are facing, especially when it comes to seismicity. As I speak, we don't have any seismologists that are working in the department. And we need to make sure that they're going forward, we've got that capacity within the department to be able to manage this particular risk within the sector. Because, I'll make an example. Some of our mining companies are mining at a depth of about 4,500 meters underground. And one of the biggest risks there is seismicity, and yet don't have the skills internally in the department. So between ourselves and the MQA, we'll be coming up with programs making sure that we also train more seismologists, both internally in South Africa and internationally, especially in Japan, because Japan is one of the world-leading countries when it comes to seismicity and monitoring. And the other area that we also need to make sure that we also improve our capacity on rock engineering. Again, we don't have sufficient capacity within the department when it comes to rock engineering. So we're coming up with programs to make sure that we train more inspectors in those areas so that we'll be able to address the particular risks that we're facing in the mining industry. Mr. Duke, can please assist us with a question on the state funding.
Chairperson and honorable members, in terms of the cost saving on dealing with projects, we've also identified that, Chairperson. That is why, starting from this current financial year, we are going to be making sure that we facilitate the collaboration between amongst the different parties, so that we are in a position to share the research facilities and the testing facilities to avoid the duplication of work that we want to do, only to find that already another research institution is working on it. So the list of the projects that I have alluded to in the presentation, all of them are going to be subjected to that, to make sure that we get as many people working on the project, and we also get access to facilities and also access to the work that has already been done. The question for us will be the issue of making sure that we make improvements on the work that has already been done instead of reinventing the wheel. So we are actually looking at that. It's not only with the project that we are going to be starting with CGS that is relating to seismicity, but with all our projects, that is going to be our approach. In terms of the infrastructure on the surface funding, it's a group. You've identified the issue very well, Chair. We've identified the facilities that we are going to be funding. These are the unique facilities that are available in these institutions. And what we also going to be discouraging in us funding these facilities I think what is also going to be encouraged in companies is that there will be discounts that are going to be offered to the mining stakeholders in terms of the use of facilities, also to discourage the situation where another entity established a similar facility. So it will also encourage the actual usage of those facilities. I hope it answers the question, Chair, unless if some of my colleagues wants to add.
I just want to add on one critical aspect that you talked to the first one. We actually discussed it quite in detail when we were reviewing the minor consultation act. So there's a proposal that is included in our own. So for now, I'll leave it at that.
We've been asking you, where is this bill? How do I discuss and say there's something? Okay, let's put it, where is this bill? Before we talk about, now we're sitting in the committee, you are giving us a reference to an amending bill that we never have sight of it. By the time it arrives here, probably it will be Babu Duga. Where is the bill? Okay. Babu Zondi, where is the bill? Therefore, where is the bill?
Chairperson, to be honest, when we were looking at the miners and safety bill, then you remember it took a long time being at Netflix. We then said we can't be running with MPRDA hanging and be pushing the mine health and safety bill hanging. So let's focus and make sure that the MPRDA gets out of the way, and we focus on the MPRDA, on the mine health and safety bill. But it's back on the drawing board now. That's why it's on the days of the APP in the current year. I'm talking on behalf of Mr. Mark. That's what we discussed in the last meeting. But it is a priority. Mr. Zondi has raised it so many times that our meeting, and I'm sure that you will be seeing it too. I'll pass the message to the DG that you say you want to do it.
If you've been over Mama, we are pushing that deep out. I asked the DG, you were sitting here, when you were telling the artisan and the small scale mining battlefield, I said, is this the only one? And I said, be careful. Maybe really when we summarize, you must now bring all these bills that are on the pipeline. I can't believe that you put brakes on something that we seem to be completely out of control. Leave my personal views about the MPRD amendment. I've got my own views, but let me not share them now. But the waiting seems to be too much. Okay, if that is the case, let's just say we will deal with it. My argument was not about who is currently serving. My issue was that when the board goes back, look, if you go to the board, you chair the board, who reports on occupational health and safety matters on behalf of the department? Because to me, I said this person, if he goes, which is supposed to be part of the board, must be more of a resource person. Because policy authority, in the absence of the DG, lies with that individual. I'm also not saying take away the responsibility of the department to preside over meetings of the man health. No, that is not my view. My view is that I am the policy authority administratively below the DG. Now, if we are sitting in a board meeting, it actually means knowledge containment reside with the chair. Any other person who is junior, even in that board, coming with me, doesn't have authority on policy. So even before we agree in the board meeting, I must go and ask the chief inspector of mine, because that's the person I report to, even if I'm coming from the department, can we take a decision on this matter? That was my point. So I'm just saying, in as much as we can keep the, and I would say it should be compulsory, but being compulsory is simply because he is the authority on policy in or below the Director General. That's to me the main issue. You see? But let's leave it. I was just saying, when you go, because I was just making an example to say, you see, you may be good this time, you're doing it very well. But that's why the particular. I want reports from Dube, and I'm the chief inspector of mine. You then decide not gonna give reports, we've got our own things. I go to a meeting. Now in the meeting, I'm no longer the administrative authority over him. I'm now the chairperson. You see, all those board members, the potential is that they will have to choose between the CEO and the chair, who have got their fights in the department that could spill over in the board. That was my angle was coming from. By now, maybe it's nice, everything, you've never met that environment. In the other way around, we may cross each other as board members, we don't agree, we cross each other, and then come back to the department. I use what we had in the board, because I'm the authority. He can only run to the CEO, to the DG. It depends when he goes to the DG, whether the DG will listen to him more than me, who is the authority. So that is the point, but let's leave it. We will look forward to see, because we're dealing with money, health and safety. I hope we are not going to get CGS to also say, here's another bill coming, and everyone presenting that there is a bill. The CFO has given us a guarantee. And I hope also when we did get it. Can you give us a commitment? When can we get those bills? Even if they are in written form, we don't want to discuss them, to say, in this financial year, these are the bills that the committee must be ready, that they will, or in this term, then you can give us your projected time frame. You don't know when it's the next meeting, when is our next meeting? I'm very generous to them. Can you get this on the 3rd of May? Yeah, I'm just being generous. 3rd of May, can you get the list of bills that you intend and the timeline? And then we'll take it from there. Okay? Thank you very much. You are excused and you are released. Maybe you can even send us the address of the relocated offices in the country for you to give us that information. Thank you very much.